With Christmas around the corner, we celebrate this Advent season in our next series, Goodwill. We will be looking at famous Christmas carols and how these familiar songs lead us to the birth of our Savior Jesus. If you are interested in knowing more about Jesus, Christianity, or our community of faith at Christ Church at Grove Farm, I encourage you to reach out to us on our website, ccgf.org. Our pastors and staff would love to connect with you and assist you in your walk with Christ. Here's the message from this week. Grace and peace to you.
Before we begin, I just want to thank those of you who have been praying and fasting with us at Urban Impact about the violence that's been going on in the city of Pittsburgh and specifically on the north side. And I want you to know that God is definitely hearing your prayers. In the 37 years that I've been on the north side, the height of violence was unprecedented. And since we have been praying and fasting, it has gone down to absolutely zero. What's amazing to me is that the shalom, the peace of God, has fallen on the north side, and it's nothing short of a miracle, believe me. Can you just praise the Lord with me? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your prayers. God bless you. You know, there's a number of things that are going on here at Christ Church, and I have great expectation and anticipation like all of you. I believe God is going to do something for you this morning, but also this weekend, it's already been mentioned, that we're going to do Light the Night right here at Christ Church on December 2nd and 3rd. And every year, hundreds of people come to know Jesus Christ. So I'm encouraging you to go to your friends, your family, your relatives, those you work with, those who cut your hair or cut your lawn, whoever. Go to them and invite them to come. And let's expect God to do some great things in our families, in our friends. Also, the entire month is amazing. It's amazing what Christ Church puts together for Christmas. I get the privilege this morning to open up the first series. The series is called Goodwill. And there has been a music aspect of this devotion that's been put together, and also a written devotion. It looks like this, and you can get it out into the foyer. And if you haven't done that yet, please do that. And then the songs that are connected to this, you can go on Spotify, Apple Music, you can go on YouTube, you can listen to the music that our whole group has put together. Brad and his group put this wonderful thing together. When you listen to the songs and it ties right into the devotion, it is amazing. So I hope that you will participate. But let's take a moment and let's just thank the leadership of the church for all that they're doing for us at this time. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Craig, all the staff. What a great job. Well, today, this morning, we're looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, and the title of the sermon is called, A Savior Has Been Given. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you for who you are. And I would just ask right now that you would forgive me and cleanse me of any sin, and you would fill me with your Spirit, and you would speak through me to your people. And we as your people would not just be hearers of your word, but we would be doers of it. And you wouldn't just stir us, but that you would change us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Again, the title of the sermon is A Savior Has Been Given. And what I want to give to you today is highlight five important truths about who Jesus is. The fact that he is our Savior. And those five truths are found on the board for you today. We're going to look at the prophecy, the person, the people, the problem, and the payment. Can we say that together? We're going to look at the prophecy, the person, the people, the problem, and the payment. Let's look right at the prophecy. Did you know that there are 331 prophecies in the Old Testament all about the Messiah? All about his birth, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. And did you know throughout the Christmas story, a number of these prophecies are fulfilled? For example, in our verse, verse 11, it says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." When the verse refers to David, town of David, it's referring to Bethlehem. What the angel said here in this passage fulfilled a prophecy that was foretold in the book of Micah, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And it says, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small and among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel." Did you know that Jesus Christ fulfilled all 331 prophecies in the Old Testament? Every one of them, 100%, fulfilled every prophecy about the Messiah in the Old Testament. 331 of them. For example, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, it says this: "A voice of one calling is in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." It predicted that Jesus would be preceded by a messenger. And who is that messenger? John the Baptist. In Zechariah chapter 9, it was predicted that the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem triumphantly on a colt. And we know that we celebrate Palm Sunday every year, where Jesus rode in. But not only that event was predicted, but also the very day that Jesus would ride in was predicted. And not only the day that he would ride into Jerusalem on a colt, but also the day that he was executed, 173,885 days before it actually happened, it was predicted. Psalm 41:9 predicted that he would be betrayed by a friend. Zechariah 11:12 predicted that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. And then in Psalm 22:16 and 17, it was predicted that he would be crucified 600 years before they ever invented crucifixion. In other words, before they even ever thought of it, 600 years before that happened. And then over in Isaiah 53:12, it was predicted that the Messiah would be crucified among thieves. These prophecies were foretold hundreds of years before Jesus ever showed up on the scene, and most of them he had no control over. He had no control over the fact that he would be betrayed by a friend for 30 pieces of silver. He did not have any control of the fact that he would be crucified. And then over in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says this: "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Listen, Dr. Peter Stoner, professor of science in Westmont College, wrote a book entitled Science Speaks, in which he wrote about the law of compound probability. In other words, he was a professor of science and math, and he took a number of his students, and they began to look at just one person fulfilling 8 of the 331 prophecies. And they did the math, and they put it together, and they came up with the odds of one person fulfilling those 8 prophecies. And I quote, "The odds of one man accidentally fulfilling 8 of these detailed prophecies is 1 to the 10 to the 17th power." That's 1 with 17 zeros behind it. Now that number's so big, I don't even know how to really say it. And it's so big, it doesn't really have a real impact on us. Kind of like how the national debt, you know, we really don't know how it's going to impact us, but it's huge, right? Well, they gave us an illustration to help us understand the impact of that. The odds of one person just fulfilling 8 of those 331 prophecies. Imagine for a moment that you have enough silver dollars to cover the state of Texas. Now, Texas is 790 miles long and 660 miles wide. You could put the state of Pennsylvania right in the middle of it and have a lot more room. So it's huge. Imagine you have enough silver dollars, you can fill the whole state of Texas 2 feet deep. And then you take one of those silver dollars and you put an X on it, and you hide it somewhere in the state of Texas. Then you blindfold someone in the city of Dallas, and you tell them you can go anywhere you want, as far as you want, but the first time you reach down to pick up a silver dollar, you must pick up the silver dollar with the X on it. The odds of that happening are 1 to the 17th power. Now listen to this. They did more. They took 48 of the prophecies. Now listen, 331 prophecies in the Old Testament. 48 of them are all about the birth of the Messiah. And Jesus fulfilled all 331, but he also fulfilled all 48. And they said, what's the chances of that happening? 1 to the 10th to the 157th power. That's 1 with 157. What do? Cover the whole state, the whole country with silver dollars? I don't know how you explain that. But what I'm saying to you is what the angel said to those shepherds: Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. And it was true on that day. That's how it touches. That's how it all connects back to us this Christmas. We're talking about the one and only, Jesus Christ, the Savior. Which takes us to the person of Jesus himself. I tell you, and I say this in Luke chapter 2:11, again, to read this verse. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This verse represents one of the foundational truths about Christianity. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus didn't come to be a political leader. He didn't come to be a social reformer or even a founder of a religion. No, he came to be your Savior. He came to save you, and he came to save me. Not only did the angels make this claim, but Jesus claims that. Jesus himself claims that he is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Matter of fact, he says a number of things. He gives four claims about himself that separate him from any other founder of any other religion. You know, I've been in ministry for 37 years, and I've had a number of people come up to me over the years and say, Pastor, I believe all religions are basically the same. They're all leading us to God, aren't they? Don't you agree? And I always say, I respectfully disagree. I disagree because of who Jesus Christ is. He's uniquely different than any other founder. Matter of fact, he's uniquely different than anybody who's ever been on the planet. Let me ask you a question. Have you been born of a virgin? Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. No other founder, no other person on the planet has been born of a virgin, but Jesus. Let me tell you four other things he said about himself. Four things. He said many, but let me just nail down four. Number one, he claimed that he was God. No other founder of any other religion makes that claim, but Jesus Christ did. He said this in John chapter 14, verse 9. He says in the scriptures, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And then he said in John chapter 10, verse 30, I and the Father are one. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm God. I'm equal with the Father. And I remind you, the reason why they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, because he claimed to be God. And they called that what? Blasphemy. The second claim is that Jesus Christ claimed that he himself had all power and authority to forgive you of your sin. No other founder of any other religion makes that claim. Only Jesus Christ. Oh, the other founders will tell you how you can be saved, but they never said that they themselves had all authority and power to forgive you. The only one that made that statement was Jesus Christ. And number three, Jesus said that his message was salvation was through faith, not works. That it was a gift, and matter of fact, he was the gift. I was in seminary, and I was going through a class. We were studying all the religions of the world, and I met a Hindu there, and we became friends. And we're going through the class, and finally I said it out loud in the class. I said, listen, the only one that teaches that salvation is a gift, and that you can receive by faith, not by works, is Jesus Christ. No other religion teaches that. And my Hindu friend looked at me and said, I don't believe that that's true. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, when we get done with all studying all the religions, let's talk about it. So we got done with the class, and my friend came to me and said, you know what, Ed? What you said was right. All other religions are trying to be good enough. They're trying to reach up to God. They're trying to be accepted by God. But only in Christianity does God reach down to man through the person of Jesus Christ and provide salvation by faith, not by works. Every other religion, you have to work yourself into the kingdom. Only through the person of Jesus Christ in his message do you find forgiveness through him and him alone. My Hindu friend got it. He got it. Listen, all the other religions are telling you what you got to do. You got to do this, you got to do that to be saved. Jesus Christ said, it's done. It's finished. I did it. You're not getting to the kingdom through your works. You're going to get through the kingdom of God through my finished work. Put your faith in me, and I have all authority, all power to forgive you of your sin. The last claim that he made about himself is that he was going to be resurrected from the dead. Look what it says over in John. In John chapter John chapter 11, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies. No other founder of any other religion claimed that they would be resurrected from the dead. Jesus Christ did, and then he backed it up and he walked out of the grave. You could go to any place where any other founder of any religion is buried and they're still in the grave. But when you go to the place where Jesus Christ was supposedly buried, it's empty because Jesus Christ walked out of the grave and he lives. In other words, we're not introducing you today to a religion. We're introducing you to a person. His name is Jesus Christ, and he lives. And he has all power and authority to forgive you of your sin and to give you a brand new start. You want that? Well, Jesus is here today. He's right in this room right now. He's here. And he's here for you. Every one of you. Right here. So Jesus, we've looked at so far, that he is prophesied. We talked about who he is as a person. Now here's the problem, or here's the people. So you see, Jesus Christ died on a cross and then was raised again from the dead. There are people who have been raised again from the dead, like Lazarus. But the difference between Lazarus and Jesus is that Jesus died for your sin. Lazarus did not. See, he overcame sin and death. That's what sets him apart from anyone else. And he's done that for all of us. Look what the scripture says. There in our passage in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it says, the angel said, I bring you good tidings. In other words, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. Not some of the people, but all the people. Not just the Jews, not the Gentiles, not just the rich or the poor, but for every one of us. And that includes you. He did that for you. But why? Why did he have to do this for all of us? Which leads us to the fourth point. We have a problem, a universal problem. All of us have sinned. All of us have broke the laws of God. There's not one of us in this room that's perfect, not one. Oh, we wish we could rewind the tape. We wish we could not say the things that we said or did, but we did them. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So we're being separated from God because of our problem. Now, usually when I make this statement to people, when I'm talking to them like over dinner or something like that, they'll say this. They'll say, Pastor Ed, you know what? Can I ask you a question? Sure. I'll say, well, why does God have to send his son? I mean, he's God, right? He could just forgive everybody. Why didn't he just say, I forgive you? I mean, he's God. He could do that, right? And I always come back with another question. Let me ask you this. Wonder if our legal system did all that. Say they just said, you know, it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or who you did it to or how many times you did it. We're just going to forgive everybody. We're just going to empty the prisons, let everybody out. What do you think of that? And they always say, no, wait a minute. No, there would be no justice. And I'm saying, exactly. Listen, God has to be true to himself and he has to be true to his laws. And God is perfect in his love, but he's also perfect in his justice. And when you break the laws of God, there is consequences. And the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. Say it out loud. What? Death. You're separated forever. And people will always say this to me. Pastor, wait a minute. I haven't killed anybody. I don't rob people. What are you talking about? I'm not that bad of a person. And I'll say to them, I'll say, hey, let's say that you're a pretty good guy. A pretty good woman. You only sin one time a day. And they usually agree to that. Yeah, one time a day. I'll say, okay, you live till you're 80. 80 times 365 comes out to 29,200 violations of God's laws. 29,200 sins. Now let's take it out of the spiritual realm for a moment, because that's where we're at, and let's bring it right down where we live. Let's bring it right into the world today. And let's turn those violations into speeding tickets. And let's say you've got 29,200 speeding tickets and you get caught again and you're standing for a judge, even in our corrupt culture that we live in today, I believe that it would not happen. That you believe that you would stand before a judge, he'd pull out your rap sheet, he'd see 29,200 violations of the law, and he who has said that he has to commit himself to hold to the law, that's going to pat you on the head and say, that's okay, you're free to go. And everybody always says to me, no, that ain't going to happen, Pastor Ed. And I said, exactly. It doesn't happen here and among men, and it's not going to happen in heaven. All of us have sinned. All of us fall short. We need a Savior. And when the angel stood up and said, I give you good news, man, those shepherds heard that. A Savior has been born. A Messiah has come for you. For you. And what did he come to do? To pay the penalty we couldn't pay. Takes us to the last and final thought. Payment. The payment. Let's look at this, understanding for a moment all the ideas and all the thoughts about us getting 29,200 violations. Let me give you an illustration that hopefully help you understand what Jesus Christ has done for all of us, those of us who believe. Luke chapter 2:11 says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The Lord Jesus came to pay the penalty of us breaking God's laws. True story about a woman that was caught speeding in North Carolina. She got caught. Police officer gave her a ticket. She couldn't pay it. Went to the court, stood before the judge. The judge said to her, madam, you were caught going 75 into 55, and the law requires me to give you a fine of $100. The woman looked at the judge and said, your honor, I don't have $100. He said, well, the law then requires that you spend a weekend in jail. And she said, your honor, I have two children. I am a single mother. There is no one there to watch my kids. Can you do anything else for me? And the judge looked at her and said, listen, madam, I am to uphold the law. I can't change the law, but the law requires that you either pay $100 or you spend a weekend in jail. Then she began to weep. And she looked at the judge and said, your honor, please, please, have mercy. The honor pushed, the judge pushed himself away from the bench, walked over to a closet, unzipped his robes, hung those robes in the closet, took out this very simple suit coat, put it on, then walked down and stood alongside of the woman, pulled out his wallet and took out a crisp $100 bill, laid it on the counter, laid it right there on the bench, then walked back up, went over and put his robes on, walked over behind the bench, looked at the woman and said, you've been caught speeding, going 75 into 55. The law requires that you pay $100, and if you can't pay the $100, you've got to spend the weekend in jail. And then he paused. Oh, he says, I see that someone has paid your debt, gave $100. The law has been satisfied, and therefore I can set you free. And that woman walked right out of that courtyard. And she thanked him, but walked out totally free. Look right here. Jesus Christ saw that you have committed so many violations that you are going to be lost forever. And he so loved you that he, for a moment, took off his robes in heaven and hung them up. And then he put a very simple coat of humanity and came down to the earth. And he was born of a virgin. And he grew up. And he walked the planet perfectly without ever sinning, so that he could be a perfect sacrifice for you. And then he went to the cross. And he died on that cross. And he paid the penalty. And the law was satisfied. And the law requires that if a wages of sin is what? Death. Say it again. Wages of sin is what? Death. See Jesus for a moment. Understand what he's doing for you. Realize and look at what he did those days. They whipped him, they beat him, they hung him on that cross. He did that for you and for me. And then he walks out of the grave. He dies, he's buried, he walks out of the grave, and now he ascended onto the right hand of the Father, where he puts his robes back on, and the Bible says that he will judge the living and the dead. Hear me on this. He will judge the living and the dead. That means that all of us will be accountable for what we have done. Hear me. If you do, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, yes, but also the Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, that he is Lord. The issue is, if you do it now,
you're forgiven. You wait till you see him in heaven, you're too late. All he can do for you in heaven, all he can do for you is carry out the law. And the law requires what? The wages of sin is what? Say it loud. You're separated from God for all eternity. Gone. It's over. You do it on this side. You kneel down and you ask God to forgive you. He takes your sin. Let me ask you, where are your sins today? If they're on you, you're responsible. If they're on him, they've been paid for. Jesus Christ loves you, cares for you, wants a relationship with you deeply. What is stopping you from committing yourself to him? I'm going to give, there might be one or two of you in this room that never gave your life to Christ before. You've never really surrendered. But before I do that, I want to talk to us as a church. There might be some of you in this room, you know that you've wandered from God. You know it. You're sitting here today, but you know you are watching things. You're doing things. You're hanging out with people. You're doing things at the workplace. You're online with people that you have no business being online with. You know it. And I want you to know that God is here today, and he wants to help you. He wants to bring help, hope, and healing to you today. He wants you to experience the very gift that he gave to you, and that's abundant life. But what we have to do as a church, as people of God, we have to surrender. We have to repent. We have to confess sin, and we need to keep short accounts. If there's anybody like that in this place today, and you know who you are, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you in his kindness, draws you to repentance. Don't walk out of here. If you're in that state, don't walk out of here today without repenting of what you've been doing. Because God wants you to experience the very peace and the very joy that Christmas brings. He wants you to experience his presence all over again. Surrender, my friend. Surrender. Now, those of you that might not know the Lord, you're out there and you're going, Pastor Ed, I don't know if I've ever committed myself. I want to give you that opportunity. What you're doing is you're saying, Lord Jesus, you are my Savior. I am not. I'm committing myself to you, and I'm going to surrender myself to you today. If you want to do that, I'm going to pray a prayer. The prayer doesn't save you. Jesus does. But let me guide you in this prayer. Let's all bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, you came for me. You died for me. You walked out of the grave for me. And I have sinned. I have broken your laws. And I ask today that you would forgive me. And I commit myself. I surrender myself to you. And I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me this Christmas season to get right into the Word. Be here every Sunday from this time on. For Lord, I thank you and praise you for making me not only a child, a creation of God, but a child of God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. With everybody's head still bowed, if you prayed that prayer, would you just raise your hand? I will pray for you all this week. Anybody? Thank you. Anybody? Thank you. Thank you. Now, everybody, look here. Some people that came to know Jesus today, and I'll tell you what, heaven is absolutely going nuts because they've asked the Lord. But you know what else? Heaven goes nuts when we as the people of God are pure before him. Listen, Jesus wants to do something fantastic in your life, in the life of your family, and in this church. This Christmas season, make sure there's no sin that's going to hinder you from being part of it. Cleanse yourself. Walk with God. He's got great things for you. He loves you. God bless you.